This is Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal with Dr. John. This is John DeSalvo, your guest for the next 60 minutes. And I want to thank you for being with us tonight for this premiere program. And do I have a special guest for you? When I mention her name, I am sure almost every UFO researcher will recognize it. She and her mother were the most famous and most studied UFO abductees of all time. And this is her first radio interview in many years. In fact, the story of their abductions was published in a five-volume set by the famous ufologist Ray Fowler from 1967 to the 1990s, over a 20-year period. And my guest tonight is Becky Andreasen, the daughter of Betty Andreasen. Now, you can call in with questions for Becky later in the program at 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And I know you must be excited as I am to have Becky on. But before I bring her on, I would like to tell you a little bit about myself, this being my first program. I've studied and researched the paranormal for over 40 years. In fact, that's what makes me tick. And in my spare time, whenever I can, I have a passion for the paranormal and psychic areas. I'm a former college professor and administrator. I taught human anatomy, physiology, general biology, and neurophysiology. I'm currently director of the Great Pyramid of Giza Research Association, and our website, GizaPyramid.com, is where I will be posting information about our guests. You can also email me at this website and send me your comments and guest suggestions. I was also one of the scientists studying the Shroud of Turin for over 30 years. I am the author of 8 books, 2 published by Barnes & Noble, Decoding the Pyramids and Dead Sea Scrolls, and several published by Inner Traditions. What I'd like to do is I'd like to just say hi to Becky and then read a little something about her. Becky, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, John. Hi.
Hey, welcome. I didn't hear anything in the background, so I was hoping I was on the air and you were still there.
I know how to be real silent.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, anyway, I can't tell you how appreciative I am that for you to come on as my guest on my first program. And I have the ultimate respect for you and your mother. I've known you personally and your mother for several years, and I can vouch for your integrity, honesty, and everything about you. And it's just, again, wonderful to have somebody on like you, who I believe you and your mom are the most famous and most tested abductees of all times. Well, what I'd like to do, Becky, I'd like to read this quote which you wrote about your first alien encounter, and maybe you can comment on it.
Okay.
I was taken from my crib by an elder, brought into a craft where 2 other young children were being trained with the use of weightless toys. I was examined and allowed to play as well. My return home was alarming to my mother, Betty. There was no way I could have possibly gotten out of my crib without assistance, nor could I have reached 2 locked doors and secured windows. Through my growing years, I've had other odd encounters of the third kind. In 1967, during my mother's well-known encounter, I was taken out of suspended animation to see an exchange of books take place between her and a very peculiar-looking being. But to my surprise, I learned it really happened. The bizarre little gray men were real. My experiences continue to this day. Boy, when I read that, I almost get the chills. So, you know, anything you'd like to comment on it? Maybe, you know, that first experience when you were in the crib and what happened?
Yes. Well, one thing I'd like to say is I really feel bad for a lot of the people out there that have had experiences and they've been terrified and frightened. And I do want to say there are both good and bad that are circling the earth and visiting the earth. So some people are having experiences with what I would call the evil beings or angels or aliens. So and then there are the good ones. So I just want to put that out there that I understand and I know that some people are having an awful time with some of these beings and aliens that are out here on our earth and, you know, coming and going. And they are here, and they are coming and going, and they have been for a long time. And I'm so thankful for telephone picture things and the cameras and videos, because people are all catching it now, this time.
Wow, that's really a good explanation and clarification of what's going on. Now, when Becky, when you were in the crib, what do you remember the first thing that happened? Did the aliens appear to you? Did you start to float up? What was that experience?
Well, what I remembered was a glowing, soft, glowing white light. And then when I was lifted from the crib, it was an essence of love and safety and, you know, there was no fear whatsoever. At all. And I suppose probably, too, being a child, you know, I didn't know what to be afraid of or not to be afraid. You know, there was no creepy, growling monster at that time, you know, around me. So, I mean, it was a very, very good and positive and loving environment and experience. So
you were about two or three? You were about two or three?
Yes, I was around two or three. You know, though, in our experience in 1967 in South Ashburnham, that was the first time in my life that I ever seen a gray. Because I've always, all the way up through my life, you know, I was 11 years old then. Well, the prior years, I was always involved with elders in what I call the beings, or what people might think of as what they call the Nordics, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the elders are different than them. But I've been involved with people, like people-looking beings, not grays. And that was the first time I ever seen a gray. That's why I was really concerned. And I was actually a little confused and a little frightened because I didn't know what it was. I mean, not frightened that I would be hurt, but it was so different for me, being at 11 years old and having experienced that.
You know, it's good you explain that, because I think many people's conceptions of alien beings are the grays. They don't realize there are other different species, supervisors, workers, and that's really interesting. They're a different group of beings, maybe with different motivations, different attitudes. And so, you know, we have to use our judgment. Now, do you remember then when you were lifted up by the aliens? Do you think they read your mind? I know you were only two or three.
Yes. I you know, back then, I didn't think twice about it. You know, I was little, and all I know is there was communication and everything was fine. You know, I didn't realize. But as time went on, I realized that they can speak to you and you know, right standing in front of you, you know, through the mind or even far from you, they can still speak to you. And it happens. It's true and it happens.
Wow. You know, so then you were, the next thing you knew, you were on aboard the craft. Is that correct?
When I was little, you mean? When I was
right
aboard, yes. There was an elder there. And there was a woman there, and I seen this woman throughout my life up in Westminster, Massachusetts. She'd come and go, and her name was Ishta. Now, I'm saying her name Ishta, not Ishtar. Now, I know from as I got older, I realized I was shown there's an Ishtar, and it's a daughter, you know, of the gods, or wife, whatever you want to call her. She's been named many names down through the times in history up until, I think, even previous date today. But I don't know if it was Ishtar that I was involved with or not, but her name was Ishta, and she protected me, and she taught me things, and I had different experiences with her. And that's the first time I remember seeing her.
Interesting. You know what really fascinated me so much when I first read this statement by you and your description was the children that you saw were being trained with weightless toys. It almost sounds like something out of a science fiction movie or The
yeah.
Matrix, you know, where the kids are having toys floating. Talk about that, you know?
It was so much fun, I'm telling you. It was just, I remember it in my childhood as so much fun. These toys would lift and move around. You could think of moving it this way or that way or putting things together. Inside of them were stuff that looked like liquid, and then there's some that looked like there was some form of sands, and then there was symbols all through them, and you moved them around, and sometimes it would even cling together and make these crystallized noises. And another thing, too, the best way I can explain it is almost every single time when I was aboard the ship and learning this was the beginning of learning the symbols of their language. There was what sounded like glass or crystal wind chimes hitting and tingling. It was just so beautiful and comfortable and fun. And there was two other children that were there with me. I don't know if there was big groups of children coming and going. I've heard of that, though. But with me, there was only two other children there.
Did they train you in lifting the toys weightlessly in the air to also?
Yes.
Could you do that when you came back to your normal environment, or was it only on the ship?
This is what I've done now. In my life, I've done, you know, those little mobile butterflies and the little mobile things that they have for kids? The mobile toys, they're very light. Okay. When I was younger, and that I actually had moved those slightly. And then a few times, you couldn't, but if you ask my children, a few times I've raised blinds and shut blinds and moved a few other things. Now, I didn't do this all the time to do it. Sometimes it just happened as I went to reach for something and it moved. And I don't know if that's like because I've come and gone and an experience I had and there was, something left over or what. I'm not sure, or if it's from my training, because sometimes, you know, we do know how to do things, yet we don't realize we know how to do them, even here.
Yes. You know, I want to just say one thing. For a lot of people listening to this may be very skeptical and say, wow, those are pretty big claims. I've known Becky and her mother personally for over 2 years. I've done psychic research with Becky. And let me tell you, Becky is very gifted. She has totally astounded me in over 40 years of doing research with psychics and clairvoyances. She just stands way above any of them. And I always wondered if it was because of, you know, two possibilities. You were born with a special gift, or the aliens put it in you. They put something in you or activated maybe a natural ability. Do you have any theories on why you have this?
I do. Every single one of these listeners out here have that gift. Every single one of you have this gift. What it is when you're involved with the aliens, or I call them angels, all right? I actually feel they're you know, God's children, they're angels. Angels are messengers, and they're people, they're beings that work with people, okay? So to me, they're a form of angels. When they're with you, I think if they work on you in that, they do alter your DNA so that the gift that you are born with accelerates. That's what I think it is. And everyone has it. We all have it. It's just if you're dealing with them and they're working on you and with you, then it accelerates. That's what I think is going on. And we even do it physically here on Earth. People work out so their muscles get stronger and their body, you know, is toned up. It accelerates, or with the brain. Well, they're doing the same thing, only a little bit more stepped up than that. but we all have the exact material to have this happen to us.
That's exciting and really encouraging for the human race, thinking that there's a level that we could go to, and maybe it will usher in more of a peaceful and a coexistent world. But that's exciting, Becky, because the interesting thing too, some of the aliens, like the elders, you associate with angels. I've written books on angels and spiritualism, and I always believe that in my ufology study that there's some connection with the alien, with the angelic realm. And you know, when you say that, it just is 100% consistent with my research and what I've discovered. And that, I think you have a unique story that a lot of abductees and a lot of ufologists are missing, that there is this angelic realm associated with it. They either don't want to admit it or they just haven't seen it.
Well, that's true. Well, you know, people want answers. And what I've learned, if there's an answer to be given, it will come when the time is right, really and truly. I mean, you can't force it. What are you going to tell the other side, the other realm? You tell me, and you tell me now.
They're
not going to do that. They're not going to do that at all. They even know it's for our own welfare, you know, especially when it's the good beings, the good aliens, the good angels that are trying to help mankind. They're not going to give you too much or overwhelm you, because you are not going to be able to handle it. It's a form of teaching and learning and taking steps, and that's really what we've done in our life.
Exactly. You know, it would be interesting. On your website, by the way, for listeners, I recommend you going to Becky's website. It's just BeckyAndreasen.com. I also have a link to her site on my site, thegizapyramid.com, GIZAPYRAMID.com. And on my site, I'll be listing guests and contact information. But on Becky's site, she's got some incredible drawings that she made of this abduction, the first one. And one of them is she's sitting at this panel with crystal handles in which she was taught the language. I was wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit about that, because that to me is totally fascinating.
Yes, that panel is where you would do like schoolwork, or you know, you come back in and check how much you've learned, because you know, when I've had these experiences and come back, I have had sheets of paper and paper and paper, and I've even written in the dirt and began at the very beginning in South Ashburnham what I call doodled on everything. I mean, with these symbols, and learned it. It was just there. I had to keep practicing it and practicing and practicing, and I went from what we would call a form of printing it to a form of writing it to a form of living it. So when I do writings now, it's like a form of living writing. And I draw. What I do is draw from the name of a person and the energy from a name. All it is in a touch, and you can actually feel the energy. Draw from it, and it goes up and through me, and the language begins, and it goes right back down to the paper, and it is about that person, only that person. Every single writing is uniquely only that person's. And this is what they taught me. When I was learning the language consists of all in all, even to nothing, which is dead silence, nothing. And you had to learn the symbols, how to move them, what symbols to put together. And when you learn this right thing, these crystal knobs and on the panel and everything would start lighting up, or tones or vibrations would go, and I'd know what to put with what, and that's what I was doing. And meanwhile, this was happening to me in Virginia, when I was out on the ship, my mom was there. She was in an out-of-body experience, and she was there and seeing everything I did and was doing. And I was so amazed, because when I came back and I had talked to her about my experience, she knew. It was almost like we were ending each other's sentences. She knew everything that I had done because she was there watching me.
See, that's an amazing correlation, amazing confirmation when you have two people.
And I got to tell you real quick, when the ship took off from my house, it was out in the marsh area. there were berries that splattered all over the house, the tree, the chicken coop, everything. All one side of the whole place was splattered with berries from the marsh. It was amazing. And even our neighbors, our friends of ours that were around, I had told them what happened, and they seen all the berries. Oh, my gosh. Two of my neighbors were scared to death. They couldn't sleep for weeks.
Well, you know, when you mentioned your angelic writing, I want to tell the listeners, too, when I first met you several years ago, I asked you to send me your angelic writing, and you wrote a whole page out for me. And I remember when I first looked at it, I decided to look at it at night in a quiet meditative state. I thought the language was moving, and I thought I could read it, and I could actually turn it, and I could read it from every direction. And when I told you that, you said, yes, you're actually reading the language. So that was really phenomenal to experience
that. And people have tried to copy it, like on a copy machine, or copy it at times, and a lot of times it will come out almost double, like it's been smudged or double.
Wow, it's amazing.
Isn't that awesome? I didn't believe that at first, you know, on a copy machine, but it was proven to me, and I was really amazed at that.
But do you remember that angelic, you drew me a picture, an angelic picture of angels in the language.
Yes.
I couldn't scan that picture. I could not scan that picture. The scanner kept breaking down. I couldn't get that thing scanned.
Yeah, I've heard that before, too. It's just so powerful. I mean, it's, you know, it's just a beautiful, powerful, awesome language. It's the language that holds all the languages.
You know, I don't know if I should get my money back on a scanner or have you draw me another picture.
I don't know.
You know, I got to say, it's really a pleasure to have a guest when you've worked with them before and you know them and you can vouch for their integrity. Because, like I said, you know, you have an incredible story, and I think you have incredible evidence for people that have not read the 5-volume set by Ray Fowler. I wish those books become reprinted, Becky. They are just, I've read all of them cover to cover. The last book really features you, but it's just an amazing story, and it's a, it just moves you, and I think people need to hear that story. It's a very it's a story I don't think has been told by any abductee before, and it's a complete story. So I hope you eventually write another book, because it's just amazing.
I know. I've been thinking of it, and people have been talking with me about it and asking, but for me to write another book, too, I want to make sure I have answers for people. And I do have quite a few answers now. You know, I've gathered different information, and I've got answers from different experiences. And so someday maybe we'll see. I don't know if everyone would want me to, but someday maybe I will put it all together and write a book.
That would be great. You know, after we got a few minutes before the half an hour break, and I'd like after the break to talk about your implants. In fact, in my next book, Power Crystals, published by Inner Traditions, you helped me with a whole chapter on your alien implants, first time ever published. So I'm real excited about that. But, you know, maybe after the break we could go into that, because that's an important topic these days of what is going on. But, you know, I was going to ask you, did you ever have experiences with, like, black helicopters and people trying to monitor you? Because, you know, you're really well-known, and this is an incredible story.
Yes, we've had helicopters coming over, you know, the house real low. But, you know, Mom and Bob are just, like, about, I'd say, 10, 12 minutes from my house. And, yes, we've had the helicopters coming over really low. And we've seen the unmarked vans and the different things, you know, sometimes be out here, especially if there's things going on, you know, at my house, or if I've come and gone somewhere. I mean, even recently, where I know I've come and gone and I've been so exhausted because, you know, I have the kids here and I work my job, and then running out of the family, you know, the house and families coming and going and everything. Sometimes I get really exhausted in the evening. And even though something happens, I know something's happened, but I don't exactly know what happened. But remember I had told you there's like a bubblegum pink stain all over my bedding and on my clothing the next day. And I wash it, and it's you know, you can see the bubblegum pink stains all over, like you were sprayed with something or something. And it's also happened to other members of my family. It's happened to my mom and dad. It's happened to them. We've had it on our clothing. We've had it on our beds, our pillows. Excuse me, our pillows, our linens, our our towels, our face cloths. It's crazy. And we've even sent it away and never got word back, you know, what happened and what it was. Never got a word back about it. So I would really like to know what that is.
Well, I know you sent me incredible pictures, and I know you're going to get me a sample, and I want to do some scanning electron microscopy and energy dispersive mm-hmm. spectroscopy. That's the other thing. You know, I approach the paranormal as a scientist. I don't just take people's, you know, experiences and just accept it. I'm skeptical. I want to test it. I want to investigate it. And I know you've been wanting to do this also, especially with your implants, and I have the contacts to do these type of tests. So I'm really excited working with you because you are so open and you really want to get answers and you want to get things tested. But it's going to be interesting to do an elemental analysis of that pink substance and see what it is. I got to tell this quick story about you and then maybe we'll do the break. But this is just one example. Becky and I have been doing research also on psychometry. She's been doing psychometric studies on ancient artifacts, and she'll tell me about an artifact before I even do the research. And then when I do it, it turns out she's like 95% correct. So she's amazing. But again, I've been wanting to get this book to Becky, and I've looked and looked and looked. I couldn't find it. I got thousands of books in my house. I probably even more than that. They're all over the place. So I said to Becky, look, I'm so sorry. I've been trying to find you this book, and I can't find it. And Becky says, you go downstairs to the basement. There's two piles of books. The pile to the left, the seventh book down, is the book. I said, Becky, I looked through those piles over and over because that's where I thought the books were. I looked everywhere. She said, go ahead and do it. So we hung up, and I went downstairs, found the two piles, pile to the left, seventh book down, and it was the book. I couldn't tell you what I felt at that instant. That is amazing. Calculate for you mathematicians out there, you skeptics, you calculate the statistics of that. Thousands of books all over the house, and she picks the exact location. Amazing.
I love my gifts.
But, you know, Becky, I'm going to ask you to hold on here. Because we want to take a quick break here. And, you know, we'll only be going for about a couple minutes. So you're listening to Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal with Dr. John. And this is on History FM and LiveParanormal.com radio. We thank you for joining us. We'll be taking a quick, short break and be back with you in a few minutes. Please stay tuned and hear more of Becky Andreasen after the past half hour.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi. LP Web Design, 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit liveparanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars.
Welcome back. You are listening to Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal with Dr. John. And my special, special guest tonight is Becky Andreasen. Her and her mother are one of the most famous abductees and most tested of all time. And we've been talking to Becky about her abduction experiences when she was an infant and later on as an adult. And, you know, Becky, maybe we can talk a little bit about your implants, when you received them and how many you have received.
Yes, I have implants. And the first one, I think when I was little, I had received in my foot. And you, in the books, you can see the picture where I'm sitting there, and it's near my ankle and my foot. I still carry the little scar near my ankle. And that was, I think, the first implant that I can remember that I had. And then there was other times where I had implants put in, and the one I remember the most was when the implant was put underneath my arm. And what happened was, we all went to bed one night, my husband, the kids, and I, and the dog started barking. It was a full moon out, and it was down in Virginia. We were lived on a farmhouse, like, out in the country. And the dog started barking and woke me up. And so I got up, and I went out to the front porch. I had two big dogs, a lab and a mixed little Mutsky dog, who I loved dearly. And I let the dogs out, and they ran out the porch. I stepped out on the porch, all glass around the porch, and I let them out. And as they went around the corner barking, they stopped in mid-bark, and I took a breath. It was like, all right. I knew instantly someone was there. I knew right away. And I don't mean a person, someone. I knew that the beings were there. And sure enough, what happened as I peeked around, leaned out the door a little and had my arm up on the side of the door, I froze. And what happened was I seen the white glowing garment of the elder, and he was over to the side, and I looked down with my eyes down to the right under, and I seen this thing that looked like the closest thing I could explain it was like a fish tube, like you put in an aquarium, a fish tube.
Uh-huh.
I seen that with light in it, and a little ball went up into my underarm, and then it was taken away. It didn't hurt at all or anything, and I was trying as hard as I could to move, and I couldn't move. They had me nice and firm and still, and as I did move, finally was freed to move, the elder was gone, and I turned quickly to the right, and there was a gray way in the corner of the porch. And as I stepped back, I heard the dogs barking again, and they came running up to the steps where I was at, almost knocked me over, and the front door was open, came flying into the house and back into my bedroom. And I just turned around and went into the house and shut the door and looked out, and the gray was gone. They were all gone. I went into the my bedroom and sat at the bottom of my bed, and you know, I smoke cigarettes. I know it's not a good thing, everyone, but I do smoke cigarettes. I think that's the only bad thing I do. So I lit up a cigarette and sat at the end of the bed, and as I was smoking my cigarette, I'm looking at a direct window in front of me, a big window in the bedroom, and this light, this sheet of lilac color light just went from the ground. It beamed on, and it went straight up. I could see the end of it going straight up like something was lifting off, and it was gone. And I knew,
wow, that,
you know, they were here. Then the next morning when I got up, I went into the shower, and sure enough, there was a little pea ball right underneath, right in the center of my armpit. And then for a couple weeks after that, I felt it moving all the way down my arm into between my pointy finger and middle finger. And when I went on some trips with Mom and Bob, when they did their things out there, people felt it and seen it, you know. It was amazing.
It moved gradually down, Becky, or really quick over?
Within 2 weeks, it went down. A couple of times I had lost my arm. I was holding a cup, a coffee cup, and the cup just fell out of my hand because it felt like I had a lead ruler right through my arm.
Wow.
I don't know if it was connecting to nerve or what it was doing, but it was only for like a minute or so, and then it went away, and it didn't hurt at all, but I felt it moving all the way, within 2 weeks period, moving all the way down my arm.
You know, that's what I was going to ask you, because I used to teach anatomy. Was it maybe moving along like an ulnar radial nerve in your arm, or trying to hook up somehow with your, you know, peripheral nervous system?
Well, I think it must have, because for me to not be able to pick something up or hold something in the middle of holding a cup, it just fell out of my hand, and my whole arm and hand dropped to my side.
Interesting. Yeah. Didn't Bob, it was just a time... Bob, your father used the EMF device to try
follow it? That was just recently.
Okay, I don't want to jump ahead, but I couldn't remember which one it was, because that's an interesting story.
Yeah,
so
that
after
was recently.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Two times I was wide awake when implants were put in me. And the other times when I came and gone, I could have been awake and just don't want to or didn't remember it, you know, but there's different spots on my body where he has his little equipment that he could run up and down, and you can tell they're in my body, and I already know they're in my body anyway.
Wow. Yeah, when you hear this story, you got 1,000 questions. It's just so amazing, and that you've experienced this, and you were awake for a lot of this, and you experienced this over a period of time. Whatever happened to the implant in your hand?
The implant in my hand, I do not know if it moved from between my fingers and went back into my body, or if they came and removed it. Now, I do know they do come and remove and put them in and take them out. And I'm one who would love to have someone know that they're in there and see them, but I won't remove them, because they put them in us and take them out for a reason. I won't remove them.
Do you feel that almost psychically or just kind of logically, that they should remain in you?
Not be removed. No, they told me they're not to be removed.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, do you think, a lot of possible, again, we know you're speculating, of course, do you think they're monitoring you?
Controlling you? Yeah, well, I think there's different implants, different devices and implants for different reasons. One, I absolutely think that it could be monitoring or keeping track of you because, you know, we move all over the place and come and go and stuff. And the other, I think, is to accelerate your body, to make it go at, you know, your spiritual self and your physical self. And I think also they put them in there to keep you healthy.
Interesting. Do you think you could have had an alien implant at your first abduction and may not have known about it?
I'm sure of that. I mean, the first thing that Mom had told me is when I was a newborn baby, just a little baby. I think I was only, like, you know, a couple weeks old or something. And Mom was laying in bed, and she was just going to sleep, Dad and Mom, and I was over next to them, and not in the bed, but, you know, in a little crib-type thing or next to them. And my mom heard her name called, Betty, and I know exactly what she's saying because I hear them. When I get messages for people or family members or friends, I wake up hearing my name called, and you can tell their voice. You know they're going to tell you something. I keep scrap paper and pen next to my bed, because I write down messages when I get them for people. But anyway, she heard Betty, and it scared her. I just chuckled so much, you know, because she was younger than that, and I was just born, and she was going through these things and didn't know what the heck is going on. But she heard her name, Betty, covered up her head, and she said when she looked over at me, I was smiling. I was just a wee little thing smiling. So I must have knew right then and there the angels were right in their room, but it startled my mom.
Wow. Has your husband and children seen these beings at certain times?
Yes. Every single one of my children, my grandchildren, and my poor husband, who doesn't want nothing to do with this at all, has had experiences happen. He's you know, called my name in the middle of the night when the grays have been at the bottom of the bed, and he's shaking me and saying, Becky, Becky, they're in the room, you know, and I sit up and I see them. They freeze. The grays will freeze, and I see them, And I'll just turn to him and say, honey, it's okay. They're not going to bother you. Go to sleep. And, you know, I cuddle up to him and lay back down, and his eyes are open looking around, you know. And he just falls back to sleep. And whatever they were there for, they did. But they did so that there wouldn't be fear installed, you know, in him. He was shocked because he woke up and seen it. He doesn't like it at all. I'm going to tell you right now. But and he's also seen many, many other things. Up in the corner of the room, we've seen the blue square door open and things come and go. He's seen the tall beings outside in the yard 3 nights in a row and woke me up, and I've watched them with him. I mean, you know, and I did warn him before we were married, everyone. I warned him. So that man must really love me.
Was that in your wedding vows for aliens?
Yes,
or,
that,
you know?
That was the prenup. Look, you're going to have this, that, and that happen. So, you know,
oh,
if you really want to marry me, you better be ready for it.
Well, see, I think that's wonderful. Again, as a scientist, it's not, you know, people could say, well, you know, how do you know this wasn't imagined or whatever? But again, you have confirmation by other people. And I know there's many, many examples of your children and your husband and others witnessing something that you've experienced. And that's why, you know, when I said at the beginning, not only I believe you and your mother were the most studied and most famous abductees, even since the 1960s, but even to the present time, because your experiences are validated by others. They can be tested. And I know you're going to eventually, hopefully, maybe get a part of an implant for me to test, and we can analyze. I know that's been done before, but what fascinates me about yours is that you also felt they're probably some kind of living crystal. And since my study and research in the last couple of years has been on crystals and crystal skulls, this really interests me. And I think it really makes sense that a type of alien implant monitoring device or whatever would be some kind of crystal structure, a living crystal. Do you have any idea about that? What is really living crystal, do you think, in your idea?
Yes, I think it's living, a form of living crystal. That's what I had found out, you know, before from them, information coming and going. It's a form of a living crystal, and it moves, and it can blend into the physical body, and it can also contain light. You know, we use crystal with electricity and that. Well, our body has electricity in it, and so does the spirit. It's filled with light, and their technology is super advanced, and it is a form of crystal. And you know another strange thing, in California they have this place. Now it's kind of, this is kind of morbid, but I mean, when you pass on, you can be cremated, and the bones can be burnt in your body so strong that it creates like a little diamond. And this is done in California. They actually do this. Okay, so if you can become a diamond, right, and that even goes in the Word of God, where jewels, God's jewels. Well, I mean, if you can even become physically, actually, truly a diamond, then crystals, which is the very earth is a big crystal in our bodies, that's what they use, the very fiber and everything to put in us so that it can, you know, blend and mix perfectly.
Wow, so you can actually take a body and make it into a diamond.
Yes, you can. They do it in California.
God, that's amazing.
The site again, I was amazing. I showed everyone when I found the site. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you know, if my kids did something like that to me, they'd probably make me into a jelly bean.
A jelly bean. Okay.
Well, anyway. No, the thing is, everything you say, your story, your mom's story, if you take it in pieces, it's kind of almost a little bit bizarre, but then the pieces fit together into this puzzle and it starts to make sense. And again, what I am so excited about is a lot of, you know, the ideas that I've had in my research about the grays and the elders and the aliens and spiritualism and the angels, you really put it all together. It just falls into place and it makes sense. And that's why, your story to me is one of the most important stories that need to be told. You say was the most frightening experience you ever had in terms of alien encounters?
I would probably say this black mass that had what I would call kind of like red eyes, and it came up from the bottom of the bed one night, and I heard this strange noise. I want to almost say growling, but it wasn't really growling. It was like a grumbling and strange kind of noise. And I'm always waking up at any noise anyway, as it is, because I've gotten up so many times and gone to the kids and grandkids because things have happened, and I've been up through the night or with them. But I heard this noise anyway, and I sat up in bed, and this huge big mass thing came up and glared at me. I mean, really, it took my breath away for a second. And as it did, I'm thinking, you know, instead of fear, I started getting angry. Because the thing said to me, "Where's your mother now?" And oh my gosh, I just got so angry. And I said, "I'm the mother now." And I whipped the blankets off me and started out of the bed and to go down to the front of my bed, and the thing was gone. And then afterwards, I looked all through the house. I mean, I went all through the house looking and couldn't find anything. And then I sat down, and as I sat down, I you know, it finally hit me. What was I going to do? It's like, wow. What are you going to do, Becky? I don't know. I was just so angry. I flew out of bed. But then afterwards, I was thinking, yeah, what have I done? What was I going to do? But I guess that was enough. It wasn't going to challenge me. I was going to do something.
Now, that is a frightening experience.
Yes.
You know, I think I'm glad you took the time to explain it, because I think a lot of people who read about alien abductions, a lot of it is like, gee, I wish I was abducted, and it's there's good and bad. I'm sure you've had wonderful experiences you wouldn't change for everything, like being with the elders and them training you, and other experiences that were utterly frightening and many you just couldn't understand.
That's right. And of course, too, when I was in Westminster, another really terrifying one was when this little creature was in the corner of my bedroom and I woke up. And they were there to protect me. The elders and the beings, they were the aliens or beings, they were there to protect me, because I was lifted into a beam of light that went right through me. There was no shadow. I was lifted up, and it had every crystal sparkly color in that beam, and they removed this little creature out of the corner of my bedroom.
Huh.
Yeah, and that was terrifying. That was scary.
You know, do you talk to your mom a lot about your experiences and hers, or is it kind of something you just accept?
When it happens, if we, you know, we didn't always live close by each other, when things happen, it'll be a phone call and we'll talk about it and this and that. But there's so many things that happen to us, whether they be small little things or big things, that it's just, honestly, it's a normal way of life for us. So we'll talk about it. And Mom's famous for telling me, "Becky, write it down. I got scraps of paper and folders and envelopes all over the place with things written down. But I mean, then when you go back and research and look, you understand sometimes why this, that, and this happened, because it got you to this place, and then you understood when you experienced this.
You know, well, it's great, because I know what any kind of, say, unique or different experience, it's good to have a support system, and you have your mom. It's amazing. I mean, think about the person out there that had an abduction experience, knows if he or she tells someone, they're going to think she's crazy and has to live with that. And so, in a sense, you're very blessed that you have that. And even Bob, I know, has experienced some of these. You really are an abduction family. Hey, that'd be a good series on TV, The Abduction Family. And I mean, but, you know, I jest, but it's true. And that's why, again, how many abductees have this correlation of different people in the family and the witnesses? And, you know, maybe I could just ask you something. I hope you come back again, Becky, because it is like another 1,001 questions I want to ask you. And I know people listening out there have, I know after the show, probably get tons of emails with questions. And I know they can contact you through your website at BeckyAndreasen.com. And I have a link on GizaPyramid.com to Becky's website. And a great picture of you with an alien. Now, who made that? That's obviously a
Mom,
fake alien.
the pictures on my site, the line pictures, Mom drew all those. And also the little gray, yeah, she did a mock-up of the little gray. And she has, I had that taken. That's an older picture, though. But that's me with the little gray, yeah.
I love it. I just love that. Again, listeners, you got to go see this picture. So make sure you visit her site. You know, I think we got about 5 or 6 minutes left here. If you don't mind, in some of our research together, you've done some fascinating psychometry. And if one thing is, I have this ancient Himalayan crystal skull, which I've been studying, doing scientific tests. It's the most studied scientifically crystal skull ever in the history of the world. I've done scanning electron microscope studies, EDS studies. I just put it under a $80,000 digital microscope doing sections. So it's been really studied. But what I really treasure and I'm excited about was Becky's psychometry on it. I don't know if would you mind, you know, telling a little bit about that?
You mean the age of it, that it's old? And it's,
yeah, well, yeah, what you got when you studied it psychometrically?
When I seen the picture and what I got from it. It was very old, it was powerful. And the thing is in the eyes and in the mouth area, it contains information. And I don't think people realize that. And, you know, I don't think people yet realize how to withdraw that information.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, because I'm not very psychic, so I don't feel anything. But I thought I'm sorry.
And number two, crystal. How crystal, you know, they use a crystalline form of crystal in our bodies for, you know, the things in our body here. Well, crystal changes, John. It changes. The energies that come in and out of it, it changes. It can fool people.
You know, we're getting close to the end. I was wondering, I know there's a lot of callers. Would you mind taking a couple phone calls?
Oh, sure.
So could we get the first caller on the line? Oh, see, am I supposed to do that?
Okay.
Hello? You're on the air with Becky Andreasen. Well, okay, I lost that one. This control board is new to me, so I apologize yet.
Okay.
So maybe they'll call back. Anyway, you know, Becky, do you have your email address on that site too, so people could write to you?
No, I don't have the email actually on it because I'm not too much on my computer. I'm just so busy throughout the day, and the kids are on summer vacation now, so. You're lucky if I get on my computer even.
Oh, okay.
The
board's lighting up here, so let me try it again and see
okay.
if I get a caller on here. Hello, you're on the air with Becky Andreasen. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, my name is Ryan. I'm from Colorado.
Oh, welcome to the program. Do you have a question for Becky?
Well, I have a question about gray aliens in general. What makes them so dangerous?
First off, hello, Brian.
It's Ryan.
And I want to tell you something. The grays are not all dangerous. There are some dangerous grays, and there are some that are not. And I know from experience.
Can you explain to me how some are not dangerous? And I heard some really strange stories here in Colorado that people get harmed by these. Anyway.
Yeah, there are bad ones out there. There are bad grays out there, and there are grays that are not bad out there. And I'll tell you, that's why I said at the very beginning of the program, I really sympathize and I understand. And if people are involved with the evil or the bad ones that are out there, they are horrible. They're absolutely horrible. And my advice to everyone, too, is if you're having something like that happen to you, you speak up and keep speaking up until something is done about it. Keep speaking up. Do not stay sheltered or hidden because you'll end up getting hurt.
How about trying to engage the bad ones?
Pardon?
Trying to fight the bad ones off.
Trying to fight the bad ones. You use the name of Christ. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
I've did it. I've gone up halfway up in the air and flying, and it was thrown back, smacked onto the ground in an experience. And I kept on screaming the name, even within my mind, when they tried to take the breath right out of me.
You know, Becky, regarding the what Ryan was saying about, you know, evil and the protection, I want to do a whole show on protection in terms of ghost hunting and magic and just whatever, because I think people don't have enough protection today.
Right.
You know, I wanted to thank Ryan from Denver for calling. We're getting close to the last few minutes, and I know you have tons of other callers and people that have questions. So, you know, you got to come back again, Becky, for another program and continue on your story. This is just totally amazing. Is there anything you'd like to finish up with? Any stories or advice or just some good...
Yes, my advice would be, don't worry about how foolish or how crazy someone's going to say you are. If you're having things happen to you, you speak up and stand your ground. You do not worry about them saying you're this or you're that, because I'm going to tell you right now, I lived through it all my life, and nobody's going to tell me it's not so when I know it is so. And if you, these people don't want to listen, then go over to this side and have this one listen or that one listen. Speak it, get it out, let people know what's going on so that you are not alone. The biggest thing is not to be alone. Thank you, Ryan, too, for calling in.
Wow. Becky, this has just been incredible tonight. I can't thank you enough, by the way, for, you know, being my first guest on this premier show. And I always said if I had my own radio show, you would be my first guest.
Yes,
and,
I know. Thank you, John.
And again, you were wonderful. And I like I said, you've raised probably 1,000 more questions by being on this show. And again, we please give my best to your mom, Betty, and Bob. And we definitely want to have you back. God bless you and your family, Becky, and keep up the great work you're doing and keep up promoting interest in this subject and providing support for others. So thank you very much, Becky, and I appreciate you. I'd like to thank LiveParanormal.com Radio for hosting this program. The owner, Rob, Carla at the Master Control, actually Ronica at Call Screening. She's not with us tonight, but will be with us next week. And ClassicalIndia.com for permission to use their music. They have some great songs, and I appreciate them providing some great songs for me. And most especially, you, the listeners, for joining us tonight. I hope you join us again next week for another special guest. And don't forget to check our website at GizaPyramid.com for information about the program and guests. Good night, and may God be with you.